السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، قد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله من عشر ذي الحجة، يعدل كل صوم منها بصيام سنة، وكل ليلة منها بقيام ليلة القدر، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: وبشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، وبك نستعين يا فتاح، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما نافعا يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، my dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening, Alhamdulillah, through the grace and through the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are now concluding the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. There's only a few days left of Dhul-Qa'dah. Thereafter we will be in the very blessed month of Dhul-Hijjah, one of the most sacred months in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Dhul-Hijjah is precious and sacred for many different reasons. And one of the main reasons why this month of Dhul-Hijjah is so precious and so sacred in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because of the action of Hajj that takes place inside of this month. And apart from that, just amongst the actions and the rites of Hajj, there are a few different things which are extremely, extremely important. Not just for those people who go for Hajj, but also for those people who have not been given the opportunity to go for Hajj that year. Amongst those things is the udhiyah, the qurbani. And unfortunately, many people are very negligent in this regard. Because we discussed about the masail, the rulings of qurbani, and we understand from the feedback that people give that many people unfortunately don't know the basic rulings of qurbani. One of the problems is because we don't live in a country, a Muslim country. Let's say most of us are from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, or whichever other Muslim country we're from. So over there, there's a full environment of purchasing the animal, which you're then going to slaughter, and everybody's aware of what you need to do, what has to be done. Because we live in the West, and our days are just a rat race, wake up in the morning, work, back home, and then sometimes we forget about things. Sometimes we just stop and we forget about very important things as Muslims that are very important to us. So this udhiyah, this qurbani, is also extremely important. And it's wajib. Who is qurbani wajib upon? Qurbani is wajib upon any person who is mature, who is baligh. Now this can be a teenager. So this is why it's very important. Qurbani is wajib upon anyone who starts from a teenage age. Basically someone who has reached the age of puberty, past the age of puberty, someone who is in their common senses, they're not mentally disillusioned, you know, they don't have any mental afflictions, you know, they're sane, and they're a Muslim, and they're mature, they're baligh. So these are three reasons. On top of that, what is the criteria, what is the threshold that a person has to have in terms of wealth before which qurbani becomes necessary upon him? The threshold is, and this is something very important to remember, because there's a difference between when zakat becomes fard on a person and when qurbani becomes wajib on a person. There's a difference. Just because zakat is not fard on you does not mean that qurbani is not wajib on you. It's highly likely that a person upon whom zakat is not fard, but still qurbani is wajib upon them. It's very likely. So how do we assess whether qurbani udhiyah is wajib upon us or not? So the way we assess it is if a person has wealth or assets or household items which are above and beyond their needs. So when it comes to zakat, how do we know how to give zakat? We give zakat on any money, gold, silver, business assets we may have, which reach the threshold or the criteria of what we call the nisab. And the daily nisab rate changes, so you can check what the nisab rate is for that day. And if you meet that criterion, then and 1 year passes on your wealth, and you will give zakat. That's a different. That's for another time. But qurbani can be wajib upon you, whereas zakat is not fard upon you. How does that happen? Say a person does not have enough money, a person does not have enough wealth or business assets or gold or silver or anything like that, but they have household possessions which are above and beyond their needs. And if you calculate all of those extra possessions that they have, which are not in use, which are extra, they will meet the threshold of nisab. Let's say, for example, today's threshold of nisab is roughly going to be around £330, more or less. Today's threshold of nisab is going to be more or less £330. Could be more, could be less, I haven't checked today's rate. If somebody has extra household items, for teenagers this includes games, it includes extra mobile phones. You have your mobile phone now, this is your necessity, you're not going to calculate this. But if you have 2-3 phones that are just extra sitting around, similarly if you have games, if you have televisions, televisions are not regarded as a necessity, because they're not a necessity. Who needs a TV to survive? Maybe I'm asking the wrong people the question, I don't know. But television is not regarded as a necessity. Many of these extra gadgets and things that people have, that we give to our teenagers, are not regarded as necessities. So if a teenager has these possessions, and if you just calculate those possessions, they are above the nisab threshold, so they go above £330 or whatever the rate is today, then qurbani is wajib upon that child as well, upon that teenager as well. And qurbani is wajib upon each person of the household, so the husband, the wife, maybe if your children have reached a mature age, you know, they're teenagers, they're past the age of puberty, you need to take these things into consideration. Do they have lots of sets of clothing? Because one is, they have 2-3 sets or 4 sets that they wear all the time, and then they have all these extra jumpers, and every Eid they're going and buying £50, £60 jumper and shirt and trousers and all of these things. If you count or you calculate all of these things together, then does this cross the threshold of nisab? If it does, then qurbani is also wajib upon that child as well. So it's very, very important to take these things into consideration, because many people just think, oh, okay, qurbani is necessary for myself, for my wife, but they don't take into consideration their children, who are teenagers, some of them 17, 18, 19 years old. They just think, well, he's a child. No, a child is an adult. As soon as they are past the age of puberty, Sharia regards them as an adult. If they had enough money, then zakat would also be fard upon them. Qurbani is wajib upon them. So it's very, very important to ascertain, to check these things. Because obviously, we only have, I don't know, a few more days or two, three weeks left before the day of Eid. We need to make sure that our qurbani has been given. Obviously, in this country, we don't generally give our qurbani here. We send our funds overseas or wherever. Some people may do it here, if you know farms or if you know someone who actually does the slaughter. But otherwise, we send it overseas. So we should make sure that we do this, you know, before the day of qurbani. If you want to send it through a charity, if you want to send it through an individual person, make sure you send it for yourself, for your wife, and for your children. You know, even this thing about, are your teenagers, if you have children who are teenagers, do they have extra possessions which are above the nisab or not? I think it's a no-brainer. Every child has these gadgets. You know, they've got their TV screens, they've got their Xboxes, they've got their PlayStations. You calculate them, they will easily go over £330. If you just take into consideration all the whole range of things that they may have. Clothing and shoes. MashaAllah, shoes. The shoes are so expensive. Some of the trainers that youngsters purchase, £90, £100, over £100, and they have a few pairs of them. And they only wear one or two, and the rest of them are there in the cupboard. So if you take these things into consideration, they will definitely, definitely meet the criteria of qurbani. So it's very, very important. We only have 2-3 weeks. Make sure we get our qurbani done. So alhamdulillah, we only have how many moments? 3 minutes? We only have a few days left before the blessed days of Dhul Hijjah dawn upon us. And the days of Dhul Hijjah are very beloved in the and great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. That the most beloved and blessed days in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Ulama have even gone on to mention, some ulama have actually mentioned, that the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are more superior to the last 10 days of Ramadan. They say in terms of the night, the last 10 nights are superior, but in terms of days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are more superior. So they're very, very, you know, blessed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further goes on to mention that one fasting in one of those days, of the 10 of Dhul Hijjah, you fast on any of those days, it's equivalent to fasting for 1 year. Person will get the reward for fasting for 1 year. This hadith is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Ibn Majah, rahimahumullah. And some scholars have mentioned there might be a bit of du'af, a bit of weakness in the chain of narration, but it doesn't mean that we can't take benefit from it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that you know, fasting for one of those days is equivalent to fasting for 1 year, and standing in prayer on one of the nights of the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah is equivalent to standing in prayer on Laylatul Qadr. So it's extremely precious, extremely valuable. We shouldn't waste a single moment of it. And there are many other, you know, even if this hadith itself may be weak, but there are so many statements of the pious predecessors, Hassan al-Basri, Muhammad ibn Sirin, and great, great scholars of the past who have mentioned many, many statements. For example, they mentioned things like, one of the days of Dhul-Hijjah is equal to 1,000 days. Okay, and they mentioned the day of Arafah is equal to 5,000 days. So any ibadah you do in that, on that day is, in the sight of Allah, it's as if you did the ibadah for 1,000 days, for 5,000 days. So there are so many other narrations mentioning the importance of these 10 days. And if you just look at the hadith, the guidance of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not waste a moment of these 10 days. There's one hadith which mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast on all 10 of these days. That's a bit weak. But there's another hadith much more authentic from Sayyidatuna Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i in his Sunan. She mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast at least 9 of those 10 days. He would not miss. So basically Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rarely miss the fasting of these days. And she mentions that from the fasts that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very punctual on, with the 3 fasts in the middle of the month, and these 9 fasts at the beginning of the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and then the Monday and the Thursday fast as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very much punctual on the fasting of these days. Fasting is something, unfortunately, we're very, very weak in. And not because we can't do it, but because we think we can't do it. We don't try. We don't even try because we are so, you know, what's the word, anxious, and we just think that, oh, how am I going to do it? I've got work. So because of this, we put ourselves down. But someone who has the courage and someone who gets up and does it, then Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for them. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah Ta'ala says, whoever makes strives in our path, we will open the doors of guidance. Well, you have to make the first effort by doing the striving. Somebody who doesn't want to strive and they say, I know, I understand the reward, but I don't know if I can do it. So you don't want to make the mujahada, Allah Ta'ala is not going to make it easy for you. But when you start making the mujahada, you start doing the striving, then Allah will open the doors for you. And that's why so many of the pious predecessors would not miss the Monday, Thursday fast. I look at my father-in-law as an example, mashallah. I don't think for the last, since I've been married, over 4 years, almost 5 years, I've never ever seen him miss a Monday and Thursday fast. Never ever. The only time he misses his Monday and Thursday fast is if he's in Hajj or Umrah. That's it. If he's in this country, you can guarantee he will be fasting on Monday and Thursday, if you see him. And he won't have suhoor. He won't have suhoor. He doesn't have time for suhoor. Because he'll be awake the whole night, he'll read his fajr, then he'll go to sleep. He doesn't wake up, you know, at sahri time or sometimes. So the only thing he'll have maybe is a glass of water. He won't have a fancy big sahri and then he'll start to say, no. In these days of summer that are so long, and Maghrib times are what time? You know, 9:42 today. He'll still be fasting Monday and Thursday. And with our fasting, morning classes, evening classes, nighttime classes, many times no time for iftar. In the days of winter, he has no time for iftar because his class is straight after. So he'll have some water and he'll just carry on. Or a green tea and he'll just carry on. So a person who, and he always says, look, if you're not going to take a step forward, then Allah Ta'ala will not make it easy for you. And along with his fasting, daily, he will do 1 hour on the treadmill exercising, every single day. He'll be fasting 1 hour on the treadmill, he never misses, and I'm telling you with my eyes because I've seen it, every single day. You know, and he always says, look, a person has to be dedicated. We don't want to do the dedication part of it, and then we say, oh, we're too weak. You have to have the motivation, you have to be dedicated, and Allah will open the doors for you. Allah will make it easy for you. So Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to practice one word of Asma al-Hadim said, Subhanallah bihamdi, Subhanakallah wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
Sure, kuch zaruri elanat hai, a few important announcements. Firstly, mashallah, last week, the Friday collection that was raised was £1,283. Allah Ta'ala accept everybody's donations. Allah Ta'ala make everybody's affairs and difficulties easy for them, inshallah. Aur kuch zaruri elanat hai, ek ye hai ki agle jume ko, to 9th of July, so next Juma. I'll say in Urdu first and then English. To agle jume ko corona vaccine ke silsile mein baz log NHS ke staff hazir honge aur subah 9 baje se lekar 4 baje tak wo yahan pe matlab rahenge to agar kisi ko vaccination lena hai to unse bas us din agle jume ko unse vaccination le sakte hain ji to jin hazrat ne abhi tak covid vaccine nahi li ho وہی حضرت اس دن تشریف رکھے انشاءاللہ اور مرد اور خواتین دونوں کے انتظامات ہے تو مرد اور خواتین دونوں کے لئے بھی انتظام انشاءاللہ ہے So next Friday, the 9th of July there will be some NHS staff present in the masjid I'm guessing from 9 o'clock till 4 o'clock So anyone who wants to take the vaccine inshaAllah taboo subject but if anyone wishes to take the vaccine then they can take it for brothers and sisters. So they'll be present. So anyway, upstairs? Are they going to be upstairs? Yeah? They'll be upstairs, inshallah. I think if you come on that day, that you'll be guided towards the right direction, inshallah. Ya Allah. Yeah, and today, inshallah, we have our open day. So, inshallah, everybody knows that we have these two courses. This course that has been running in the masjid the last 2-3 years, the Sanatain course, Islamic Essentials course. Which is like a foundational study of Islam. And then we are starting from September, we'll see how it goes, inshallah, unique course. But again, it's about the people of Ashton. If people have desire, then inshallah we can deliver. But if there's no talab, there's no desire to want to learn more knowledge, to understand more about deen, more about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, then there's no point us delivering these courses to a room with no people inside. So inshallah, it's very, very important. These two courses, we probably will not be enrolling anymore. But if anybody wishes to learn the Arabic language, and many brothers are always saying to me, oh, how do I focus in my salah? How do I build my concentration? How do I get the motivation to recite more Quran? One of the most important tools you need to gain is the Arabic language. Of course, right? Without the Arabic language, how are you supposed to? It's like somebody sends you a letter, but you don't know how to read it. What are you going to do with that letter? You're going to store it somewhere, and you're never going to touch it, because you don't know how to read it. Or you're going to try your best to go on Google Translate one word, second word, third word, till you get frustrated. So that's what happens with many people when they try and understand the Quran. They look at a bit of translation here and there, but they can't keep up with it. But it's not an easy task. It's very difficult going through translations and then remembering what those translations said, because it's not a familiar language. But if you learned the Arabic language, then you don't even need the aid of translations. You might here and there need to look at a specific word. I mean, even great scholars need to look at dictionaries to understand certain words. But you will be able to recite the Quran and understand a large percentage of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So we have this course which is only going to be running for 2 years part-time. Anybody can do it. Adults can do it. If you're going to university, if you're going to college, if you're an adult. And these courses are not for children. Please don't bring your sage bache to me. Don't bring little children to me and say, oh, I want this. It's not for them. People say the children need to learn. Children are too young to understand. If they understand the important, how to recite Quran, the important rulings of salahs and, you know, fasting and all of this, this is good enough for them. When they get older and they get more mature, this is the time now to learn a language, you know, learn it properly, especially if you're giving such a limited time. So it's only going to run over 2 years, part-time, 3 days a week, in the evenings from 6:45 till 8:45. You can finish your work shift, you can come home, and then you can come. The time that we normally spend browsing through Netflix, or just the channels, random channels, seeing what's on, watching the static, this time we can come to the masjid and learn something very important, very beneficial for us. And after 2 years, inshallah, you'll have learned the Arabic language. You'll have learned many other important things along the way. So today we have the open day at 6:45 today, brothers requested, please, inshallah, attend this and make the sisters attend as well. And you know, we need to spread awareness of these things that are happening, inshallah, so that we attend and we benefit. Chalo, inshallah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي جعل الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان وفضل زمانا على زمان كما فضل مكانا على مكان وإنسانا على إنسان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا إلى الخيرات ومنها صوم عاشوراء يوم الحسنات ونهانا عن المنكرات ومنها ما ابتدعوا فيه من المخترعات صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين أقاموا الدين الواجبات منها والمندوبات وأبطلوا رسوم الجاهلية المحرمات منها والمكروهات وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد حان يوم عاشوراء للناس فيه معروفات ومنكرات ظلماء فمن الأول استحبابان الصوم فيه فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام صيام يوم عاشوراء أحتسب على الله أن يكفر سنة التي قبله. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صوموا عاشوراء وخالفوا فيه اليهود وصوموا قبله يوما وبعده يوما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأيها الإخوة الأعزاء، أوصيكم ونفسي أولاً بتقوى الله والمواظبة على ذكر الله، على خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. من أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان، اللهم وفق ولاة المسلمين لما تحب وترضاه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. Please straighten the rows for Salah. Safadrus Kalijiga. Please ensure your phones are on silent.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala as-salah, hayya 'ala as-salah, hayya 'ala al-falah, hayya 'ala al-falah. Qad qamati as-salatu, qad qamati as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى، ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا فهدى، ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر. استغفر الله.
Brothers requested to please perform their sunnahs at home as we have a second congregation waiting to come in. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم السلام عليك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد بعدد كل معلوم لك. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وفحل الرجال. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهل البلاء وترك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من أن نرد إلى أرذل العمر. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. برحمتك يا رحمة الله. اللهم